Live from America's finest city, this is Real Talk San Diego on ESPN 1700. And now, your hosts, Ryan White and David McKelvin.
Welcome. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour here with Ryan White. Joining us today, Lane Sharman. He is the CEO of Solana Energy, the website, solanaenergy.com. His family is responsible for the development of Borrego Springs, and he was the first one to develop the independent water credit exchange, which they're using now in Borrego Springs. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Lane, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Also, six-time repeat offender, Kelly Klein, regional manager, One Trust Home Loans, the website, onetrusthomeloans.com. He tells me that he just coached the 9, 10, and 11-year-old boys, one of which is his son, to the Little League champs.
That's right.
Wow, yep. That's pretty exciting.
Encinitas Grasshoppers.
Encinitas Grasshoppers. Okay, good to know. So ahead of us today, as you may have guessed, renewable energy. For San Diego here, mostly solar, but we're going to touch a little bit on other ways of going about it. Lane is going to head that up, as well as the reemergence, if you will, of home equity lines of credit, HELOCs, energy efficiency credits, and direction of rates. Kelly will be touching on that, so ahead of us in the show. Kelly, right off the bat, let's talk about rate. So I know, I got to have 80% down, I got to be a conventional loan, all these myriad of disclaimers you can take me through. Go ahead and take me through them and tell me what my rate is today.
Thanks for setting the stage there, Ryan, because, yeah, it certainly is a myriad of options that we have to sift through to figure out who qualifies for what. But, you know, if you're a cream-of-the-crop consumer out there looking for a home loan, whether it's a purchase or a refinance, and you're a conventional loan candidate, today you're looking at 30-year fixed rates at 4.25% to 4.375%. And, you know, I'm only as good as this moment because who knows what's going to happen in 30 minutes from now.
So low fours.
Low fours, yeah. Interest rates are quite like elevators. They go up and they go down, typically within the same day at times. So we like to try to avoid the roller coaster as much as possible, get our borrowers locked in as quickly as we can when they know that there's a rate available that they're happy with. Lock it up, take it down, because you never know how long it's going to be there.
Okay, good to know. Well, it doesn't seem like rates are skyrocketing out of control by any means. Low fours is still well within the realm of reasonable.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, 2013 was a great year for anybody who took advantage of a refinance where, you know, we were selling 3.5% 30-year fixes, which were historical lows. So, yeah, I don't see that we might hit those levels again. But there's not a whole lot going on economically right now that leads me to believe for any reason whatsoever rates are going to be jumping up into the 5% bucket anytime soon. You know, like I said, you get a couple days where they go up, you get a couple days where they go down. And if you work with a good mortgage professional like me and my team here at OneTrust, we know when to lock you down before we're going to hit that couple of bad day runs.
We're talking with Kelly Klein. He's the regional manager of OneTrust Home Loans. Their website, onetrusthomeloans.com. And Kelly, what's the best way to reach you?
Best way to reach me is direct 619-784-9695. That number is on me 24/7. And if you miss me, it's because I might be on the radio show here with Ryan.
Excellent. Excellent. So one of the things we mentioned was home equity lines of credit, which we're going to call HELOCs. What does that mean, and why is it relevant that these are coming back?
Well, the relevancy to it is actually a very good thing. Equity lines of credit were huge back when market values of homes were skyrocketing because it was an easy way for a consumer to get access to some of the equity that they've taken or appreciated in their home and use that equity to improve their house. You know, maybe pay off some debt, put themselves in a better financial position, help pay their kids' way through college. You know, it was a good access line of to capital. A lot of people tend to be equity rich and pocket poor. This was a way of getting access to that equity position. But when the market dumped and everything started foreclosing and property values were sinking through the floors, there wasn't a single soul out there in the lending space that was even considering throwing a second or an equity line of credit on your property, because there's a tough position to collect when that property goes underwater or starts falling, subject to not being as equitable as it once was. But over the last 2 years, because property value has increased so much across the nation and so many people have become equitable again, the equity line of credit is reviving. It's coming back. It's not quite as aggressive as it once was. However, it's here. And OneTrust Home Loans has access to a couple of products that we'd love to share with you. So give us a call.
Kelly, it's Elaine here. I had a home equity line of credit at one time, and remember trying to qualify for that home equity line of credit. It was pretty easy. What are some of the qualifications that you have to kind of walk us through the qualification process for a home equity line of credit?
Yeah, great question, Lane. In fact, most of the credit line companies that are out there are going to require that you have at least a 700 credit score. Some of the equity line of credits that we have access to will give you up to 90% of the appraised value of your home. A lot of your local credit unions and your small community banks that offer equity lines, they're a little less aggressive. They're going to probably cap you out somewhere between 75 and 80% loan to value. Also, the qualified mortgage guideline that now is in place requires that you have a debt to income ratio below 45%, meaning that the amount of income you make divided by the amount of debt that you carry, you need to figure that calculation out to be 45% or less.
A lot of numbers.
Yep.
And Kelly's a number guy. So one more time, we're talking with Kelly Klein, regional manager, OneTrust Home Loans, website onetrusthomeloans.com. To get a hold of Kelly directly, 619-784-9695. One more time, 619-784-9695. And really the reason that I want to talk about home equity lines of credit, and the reason that I think it's important, isn't necessarily just because it gives consumers a checkbook that they can dip into the equity of their home with, which of course it does, but I think it's indicative of something else. And you mentioned the converse of this. We've all heard stories of when the market crashed 2007 through 2010, people were relying on their home equity line of credit to make payments, which they shouldn't have been doing, or to run businesses, or to finance the car, or whatever they were doing. And we all know people that received a letter in the mail from the bank saying, oh, by the way, we chopped your $110,000 equity line of credit down to whatever you owe us now, or down to $15,000 or some substantially lower amount that could have a very detrimental effect on that person's lifestyle. That's because the lenders were looking forward and seeing this thing's going to get bad. Values are dipping. There could be problems here. And our sort of unsecured loan being a second is going to be the first to go. Now that's changing. And they're opening up and offering them more. That shows me that lenders are bullish on the market getting better, which is a good sign for consumers. That in itself is really what is most telling to me about the fact that this is back.
Absolutely. You hit it dead on the nail there, Ryan, because that's exactly what was happening. People were having equity lines of credit, and they used them for this, that, and any other purpose that they could have imagined needing it for. And when that line of credit went away, so did all their purposes that they were floating. And I know personally three different clients of mine who were using it to fund their businesses. And it was, you know, it was basically their business line of credit, not a small business loan,
that they
which
use
are a lot
house,
more difficult,
right?
But they use the equity that they had earned over their house in the last 10 years and said, hey, look, it, we can finally start this business that we wanted to start, and here's our great access to the capital that we always needed to do so. And when that $110,000 or $150,000 line of credit got knocked to $30,000, it was like, holy smokes, now what do I do with my business? And it was a big blow to certain people out there economically, for sure.
So the fact that lenders are willing to put a second on a home, as I mentioned, is evidence the market is getting better. So I'm also going to extrapolate one other thing. As you mentioned previously, a couple years ago, rates were so low, the refi business was going crazy. Rates have jumped up 0.5%, 1%. Essentially, everybody is refied that could. And one of the reasons people couldn't refi before is because the loan to value. They didn't have the equity to refi previously. Now, with the fact that lenders are seeing values coming up such that they are allowing home equity lines of credit, maybe those homeowners' values have come up that they can do a traditional refinance as well. I would imagine you're seeing a small percentage of people now coming into the market that have the equity to refinance that they didn't a few years ago.
That's a phenomenal point, Ryan, and I think we might have to break on that point and come back to it.
To get a hold of Kelly, his number, 619-784-9695. 619-784-9695. When we come back, we're going to talk with Lane Sharman, CEO of Solana Energy, his website, solanaenergy.com, about another lending program, the HERO program, ahead of us when we come back. Welcome back to the Real Estate Radio Hour. We've been talking with Kelly Klein. He's the regional manager of OneTrust Home Loans. The website, onetrusthomeloans.com. Get a hold of Kelly on his phone line, his cell phone, 619-784-9695. One more time, 619-784-9695. Now, Kelly, just before we left, we touched briefly on the fact that more and more people have equity that perhaps couldn't have refinanced in the past. Perhaps you're doing so now. Talk to us briefly about that.
Definitely something that's happening a lot more regularly right now. And considering that so many candidates who bought homes over the last 2 years had to resort to FHA financing in order to get into those homes because they didn't have the down payment money, they also absorb those big fat private mortgage insurance premiums with that monthly payment. So as a result of seeing 10 to 15% appreciation here throughout San Diego County over the last year, a lot of those FHA loans are becoming equitable positioned, and we can get people out of those FHA mortgages, out of that private mortgage insurance, and into a conventional loan, possibly, if necessary, throw a piggyback equity line of credit in there, a la home equity lines, and avoid having to pay that mortgage insurance, giving them better tax write-offs, and giving them the ability to start reducing more principal on those loans.
That was a lot of information. And I think that's a really important point. We're going to come back to it. Kelly Klein, Regional Manager, OneTrust Home Loans. His number is 619-784-9695. One more time, 619-784-9695. If you didn't catch all that, we're going to repeat it. Don't worry. We're going to shift gears over here to Lane, although we're still kind of talking about lending. Lane Sharman, he's the CEO of Solana Energy. And as I mentioned in the intro, he developed the Independent Water Credit Exchange that's being used out in Borrego Springs. And also we're going to talk a little bit about the HERO program, but I'm interested in a brief description of what is a water credit exchange and why should I care?
Well, a water credit exchange is a fantastic vehicle for the delivery of water in a area where there is not a lot of water. And in Borrego Springs, there's not a lot of water.
Okay.
So there are farmers who are farming in Borrego. And when they decide they need a vehicle to give up their production rights, so they have production rights to that water. That's an intrinsic property right to pump water under your property.
Out of the ground.
Out of the ground.
Okay.
They do that. And the Water Credit Exchange exchanged with them a financial instrument, the water credit, in exchange for them stopping pumping water out of the ground.
We don't want them pumping water.
No, because there's not enough water in the ground in Borrego Springs. And in a lot of aquifers in the United States, there is insufficient water to supply all of the demands of agriculture and residents. Now, I come from five generations in California, a lot of farming in my family, love farming. So I'd like to see farming done in an area where it can be sustainable. And that's in an area where you have, good river quality and lots of resources. But in Borrego Springs, the groundwater is being tapped out. So this was an environmental exchange that allowed farmers to get a financial instrument in exchange for suspending their agricultural operations.
And so you're essentially paying them, as oversimplification, but you're essentially paying them to not be a farmer.
That's right. That's right. You're giving them an exit.
Right.
So it's an exit for a farmer to reduce his water use on his farm or suspend altogether his water use. And that credit has to be bought by anybody who wants to come into Borrego today and build a house. You can't build a house in Borrego Springs without buying a water credit.
I see. And so the idea behind this is not because you're anti-vegetable.
Of course not. Right.
You're pro-vegetable.
Yeah.
But the idea here is that growing and farming in Borrego Springs may not be the most efficient use of the limited water supply.
Exactly.
So they do have the right to use it, but by writing them a check to not use it, we're able to more efficiently use the water elsewhere, and they are free to do something else.
Exactly, Ryan. I mean, you know, we all are working with limited resources. We're working with limited resources with respect to water, limited resources with respect to air. Capital is a limited resource, and we have to be good stewards of how we use that resource. And so in the state of California, we have emission permits under AB 32, which limit your right to emit a pollutant. And that pollutant today happens to be CO2 because we have too much CO2 in the atmosphere. And so we're now working with these pretty straightforward market-driven platforms, credit exchanges, in order to help us put into balance certain systems like water supply, quality of air, access to capital, resources that are basically intrinsic to our human welfare.
Now, that plays well into your company, Solana Energy. Tell me what Solana Energy does.
We are an energy consultant. Okay. First and foremost, we are an energy consultant. We help people like you, Ryan, and you, Kelly, with your customers and your houses, find ways to produce your own energy at the lowest possible cost with the least environmental impact possible. So if you're interested in having a price certainty for your energy and not having a lot of dependency on your local energy supplier, your local electricity supplier, which happens to be San Diego Gas and Electric, and you want to become more self-sufficient, our company helps you make some decisions about which direction to go. And our primary focus is on helping commercial businesses in San Diego who are paying really, really high prices for electricity today in San Diego Gas and Electric. Just as an example, I just did a study for a customer of mine. He's paying 23 cents a kilowatt hour in the summer. His bill just hit $40,000 a month.
$40,000 a month for electricity?
For electricity.
Wow.
So
it's a lot of air conditioning.
Can you imagine? Well, he's one of the greatest printed circuit board manufacturers in California, a company by the name of U.S. Circuit in Escondido. Runs a fantastic business. You go in there and you see all of the machinery, all of the processes from drilling to photolithography. I mean, it's very cool. But his electricity is a killer right now. And he's not going to be able to compete for much longer if he can't find a way of flattening his cost of doing business with respect to electricity in San Diego.
And you recently had a write-up in the paper, right? Wasn't that on a
that's
school,
correct.
Right? It was a school?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. So that's pretty funny because I actually had nothing to do with Canyon Crest Academy's solar system.
Okay.
But they got
okay.
it wrong. But they got it wrong, and they got it wrong.
Well, you could have taken credit for it.
I know. I just want to set the record straight here.
Okay.
I don't want to commit two plagiarisms in the same month. But I happen to love Canyon Crest Academy because they are producing so much energy on site. And their abbreviation by which they're known is called a CCA. And that what it might allow us to segue into what is community choice aggregation in the state of California. I don't know if you're ready for that, Ryan, but we might
have at it.
We might segue into that. So community choice aggregation is the law that allows communities like you, Kelly, and me, Ryan, and to form a public energy cooperative. And that cooperative basically goes out and buys energy on the open market, and it delivers it to us as ratepayers in the city of Encinitas, the city of Solana Beach, city of San Diego, the county of San Diego.
And does this exist today?
And we have two up and running in the state of California, okay. Marin Clean Energy Authority and Sonoma Clean Power. Both operational. Marin's been running since 2010. And Sonoma just launched on May the 1st, I think.
So private energy.
So, yes, it is publicly owned by the people. It is independent. It is not for profit. There are no shareholders. just like a school district. So it's a wonderful kind of a vehicle for us to deliver clean energy to our homes and schools and businesses. And I'd like to talk more about that when we have to break, which it sounds like we're going to have to do here pretty
soon. We're talking with Lane Sharman. He's the CEO of Solana Energy. His website, solanaenergy.com. One more time, it's his website, solanaenergy.com. We're going through community energy, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about what impact that can have here in San Diego and the obstacles that are in the way. There's a big one, AB 2145, in the way. He's going to talk a lot about that. We come back. Also, I'm going to make Kelly go through that scenario again about what happens if you didn't have equity before, maybe you do now, possibly getting out of that PMI ahead of us when we come back. Welcome back, ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour. We've been talking with Lane Sharman, CEO of Solana Energy, about community energy and his independent water credit exchange he set up in Borrego Springs. We're going to make him talk a little bit later in the show about the HERO program, which is basically a loan that you can get for energy efficiency upgrades to your home. So that's coming up ahead of us. We're going to bounce over now to Kelly Klein. He had this relatively complicated situation, and it's not that complicated. It just involves a few numbers, but not that complicated. Ultimately, if you bought a home before, perhaps you put very little money down, like an FHA loan, which only requires 3.5% down, you're stuck with paying PMI, private mortgage insurance, which that's just how it goes. That's the downside of not putting a bunch of money down.
You got it.
And why is PMI less than ideal?
It's less than ideal for two reasons. One is PMI is not tax deductible. The second reason is paying PMI prevents you from reducing your overall mortgage balance. So you're really not getting rid of the loan that
principal.
You have.
Not reducing
everything.
The principal.
Yeah, your
right.
principal stays the same with every month that you make that PMI payment.
So this was done perhaps sometime in the past because you only had to put 3.5% down. And theoretically at that time, you only had 3.5% worth of equity. Well, times have changed. As I mentioned, is evidenced by the fact home equity lines of credit are coming back. If your home value has come up, even as little as 6.5%, there's potential to refinance out of that FHA loan, which requires the PMI. Or, of course, if you have more than 6.5%, there's other options as well. So run me through that scenario again, Kelly. What happens if I have at least an additional 6.5% equity in my home, which would be a total of 10% equity in my home or more? What are my options for getting rid of PMI?
They're actually pretty good. So when you've acquired 10% equity in your home, we have a loan program that's called an 80-10. 80% first mortgage, 10% second mortgage. That second mortgage allows you to avoid paying any more private mortgage insurance, getting you out of that FHA loan and into a more favorable tax deductible and principal reducing mortgage payment, allowing you more affordability ultimately in your home.
And that, so 80-10-10, the final 10 being the equity that you already have,
yep.
that essentially the consumer is, borrower is bringing into the situation. The 80 being a traditional loan, the first 10 being the home equity line of credit,
yep.
right? And traditionally, second mortgages and home and equity line of credit tend to be a slightly higher rate because they're in a subordinate position. That's what second means.
Correct.
Right? So where the trade-off is private mortgage insurance, which is not tax deductible and potentially is the money is not used to reduce the overall principal.
Right.
Refinancing and getting a second, which is perhaps a slightly higher rate than your first, but it is 100% tax deductible. That's the beauty of it. Tax deductibility. There are so few things that we can do today that give us a write-off. And there's a lot of talk about that write-off going away, but
there
as it stands right now, it's not going away.
It's still intact.
It's still intact. Use it.
National Association of Realtors is fighting real, real hard with Congress to pass that bill and keep that thing intact for us.
I would be willing to say that if you got an FHA loan back in 2011 or 2012, you probably have an additional 6.5% interest in your home, excuse me, 6.5% equity in your home, being a total of 10%. So if you bought your home 2 years ago with 3.5% down, FHA loan, again, I would say there's a very high probability that you've got an extra 6.5% value, giving you a total of 10, which would mean you would qualify potentially for this refinance program. Reach out to Kelly. Kelly Klein, Regional Manager, One Trust Home Loans, the website, onetrusthomeloans.com. His phone number, 619-784-9695, 619-784-9695. Now, we talked briefly in the break, Kelly, about the VA EEM. I think that ties well into the overall tree-hugging, granola-eating, green sentiment that we have today. Tell us about the EEM.
So the VA's EEM mortgage is an opportunity for a homeowner or a home buyer who is eligible for VA financing to take advantage of an additional $6,000, of which they can put back into the home to improve the home's energy efficiencies. A lot of times that's used for the upgrade of an HVAC system.
What's that?
Air conditioning, heating units that can be more effective use of
so
their
if
my, energy.
If the one in the home is 30 years old, its efficiency can be increased with whatever's out there now.
That's right.
Okay.
It can be used to replacing windows throughout the house.
Like dual pane.
Dual pane.
Okay.
Bringing more efficiency into the house that way. Insulation.
Okay.
You know, ripping out the interior walls, refilling the home with insulation.
Okay.
Putting drywalls back up and getting the house to be more efficient from retaining warmth.
It doesn't even have to come to that. Many of us have attics that aren't built out with
that
insulation
too.
That, you know, you don't have to rip out anything. You just add it.
That's right.
I would imagine, Lane, you probably have other things that people are doing to their home to increase efficiency. Why don't
lots
you rattle
of
off a few?
Yeah, so an interesting question is the energy efficiency money, the $6,000, only available for energy efficiency, or can it be used for energy generation, such as a solar PV system, Kelly?
In this case, it has to go towards
energy efficiency. So reducing your cost of energy,
right.
Or reducing your utilization of energy. And what about water systems or things like that? What about reducing your water consumption? Let's say that a house has a lot of water consumption. Can
yes.
it be used for that too?
That
as well?
Can
that's
also.
A good one.
Yep.
So things like replacing an old refrigerator, I would imagine, as well within the line of energy efficiency. Is that right, Kelly?
Yes, but it wouldn't go towards that.
But it wouldn't go towards that. Okay. Any other things we haven't mentioned that this would qualify
for? But that's a great point, because your refrigerator is on 24/7. So if you look around at your house and you want to find out what particular device is consuming your most amount of energy, your refrigerator is actually the device, if it's an old one, that you should get rid of right away.
Got it.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Right away.
So it's been my experience, especially when people are talking a VA loan, that they buy really close to the total debt-to-income ratio that they can. That's just what happens.
Yep.
You know, I met with a woman today just on the way to the show. She said, I'm looking to buy a home up to 1.3. Okay, cool, great. But I want to see this home for $900,000. All right, I'll show it to you. And I got there, and she's like, yeah, this isn't it. There's nobody out there that buys a home 25% less than they can afford. That's just the way it is. People buy up really close to what they can afford. Point I'm getting at is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Kelly, that $6,000 is not directed towards their DTI.
That's correct.
So that $6,000, so you qualify for a $300,000 mortgage with all your normal debt and income stuff. You can actually get a loan of $306,000. That $6,000 is on top of, that's the cherry on top in terms of qualifying. Does not hurt your debt-to-income ratio at all.
That's correct.
Wow, so that's a really, really unique touch. One more time, Kelly Klein, Regional Manager, One Trust Home Loans. His number is 619-784-9695. One more time, 619-784-9695. Tell me about a 203K.
203K loans are also very popular right now in helping to improve your energy efficiencies, because the 203K loan is a rehab loan of sorts. It's an FHA-sponsored program that allows you to take up to $35,000 if you do the streamlined version, and take that $35,000 to improve the home's functionality. You can't remove walls. You can't remove support beams. You can't blow out a wall and do an added-on room. It has to be within the already existing structure. And a lot of times that can be doing all new windows, doing all new HVAC, doing new insulation, doing potentially solar on the home. So you can take those things to make your house energy efficient and use that money, qualify it, bring your house more up to standard value of your community. Or the full 203K can allow you to try to bring your home up to 125% of the community average value. So you can do with that just about anything, tearing the house down to all but one last wall standing. So if you really have that teardown home that just absolutely can't qualify for a conventional financing, but you come in with a contractor, you game plan how we're going to bring this house back up to livability, the 203K is a great opportunity.
So this is Lane. What, Kelly, how does the 203K, how do you qualify for the 203K? Let's say that I own a house and I want to qualify for the 203K. How do I do that?
Very simply, actually, the 203K qualification guidelines are much more flexible mm-hmm. than a lot of other programs. Mm-hmm. You only need a credit score of 640 mm-hmm. to be eligible. Mm-hmm. Your debt-to-income ratios can be as high as 55%, mm-hmm. And you don't really need to have equity in your home. You need to be able to prove that you can revalue your home mm-hmm. up to a more standard price point within your community. Mm-hmm. So if you are going to do some work, it's a great way to bring your house up to from subpar to par.
I think that's one of the unique things with this particular loan, whereas most loans you have to have the equity in the home already. This renovation loan, although doesn't have to go directly towards energy efficient upgrades, you can use it, Kelly mentioned a variety of things, doesn't all have to go towards inefficient items, but you're getting a loan on estimated future value after the upgrades are done. So if your home is worth $400,000 now and you're going to do $35,000 worth of work to it, well, let's hope it's worth more than $435,000, but they would estimate the value to be $450,000 or more, and you'd get a loan on future value.
Correct.
Which is different than every other loan out there. We're talking with Kelly Klein, Regional Manager, One Trust Home Loans. To get Kelly directly, 619-784-9695. One more time, 619-784-9695. When we come back, we're going to talk with Lane Sharman, CEO of Solana Energy. I've promised a couple times he's got his own loan program we're going to talk about, the HERO program for energy efficient upgrades, and get on our soapbox a little bit about AB 2145. Ahead of us when we come back. Welcome back. We've been talking with Kelly Klein, six-time repeat offender here on the show, Regional Manager, One Trust Home Loans. His phone number is 619-784-9695. One more time, 619-784-9695. If you bought your home with an FHA loan 2 years ago or later, you only put down 3.5%, I'd be willing to bet that you have enough equity now to refinance, get out of the PMI. Call Kelly. He'll let you know if you have enough equity to do so. One more time, 619-784-9695.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, Lane. HERO program. I've been promising for an hour now that you have a loan. HERO program, PACE, energy, credits. Tell me about what's going on.
I'm happy to. So we have in the state of California, we have a program called the Property Assessed Clean Energy that allows any city or county to set up a district and to have multiple financial providers come in and provide credit to a homeowner to implement and pay for a energy upgrade. Could be an energy upgrade, could be a water upgrade, could be a self-generation through solar and solar electricity. So it's a wonderful program, and HERO is one of those programs operating under PACE, which basically provides a very, very straightforward path for people to pay for over 5, 10, 15, or 20 years an energy upgrade and not have to go out of pocket for $10,000, $20,000, or $30,000. And the interest rates are really low. I've seen interest rates quoted around 5, 6%, depending upon the term of the loan, for an energy upgrade. And so this represents an alternative to doing a full takeout, as we were just talking about under Kelly's program.
Well, so when we're talking about energy upgrades, you know, I think most of us can wrap our minds around writing a check for new windows or putting insulation. Those aren't huge ticket items. But when I looked into solar, and you'll correct me, I'm confident, because the capitalization has changed. But when I looked into solar, they were talking about knocking out the top two tiers, tier three and four, in my bill. And it was going to be like a 9-year recapture, meaning that it wouldn't be for 9 years of me having these solar panels on my house that I would actually start reaping the benefits financially from having, I mean, of course, there's multitude of green benefits, but from a purely financial perspective, I would pay on these things for 9 years until I would start to be, well, in the green, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that was a deterrent for a lot of people out there.
Sure.
And one of the reasons that's a deterrent is, on average, people don't live in their homes 9 years.
Sure.
5 to 7 is far and away the average. So I'm putting money into my home, capitalizing stuff that I'm never going to get the benefit of. And with respect to solar panels, it's not like they're gorgeous. It's not like adding new granite countertops that you can see every day.
Right.
Hopefully you don't ever see them. I mean,
yeah.
Solar panels are not the most sightly thing to see.
Sure.
The only benefit one gets is a reduced electricity bill. With the HERO program and the PACE program, the expense or the loan that one would get for a residential and or commercial solar panel installation is put on the property tax bill.
That's correct.
So it is passed on to the new homeowner to continue to capitalize that installation. So again, if I was to pay, let's say, $20,000, have solar panels installed on my house, that's after I got all the governmental credits and state credits back, and I only stayed there for 5 years, maybe I only paid $10,000 of that off. But I was getting a reduction of my electricity bill by $10,000. So that's a net wash.
Right.
Guy who buys it, he pays another 10 years, and everything he gets after that 10 years, he's in the green.
Absolutely.
It really seems to me to be the what is needed to make this catch on.
Absolutely. It's just it's very, very clean, because right now, first of all, the property tax assessment is deductible, which is very important from a tax standpoint. You're still, when you make this investment, you're still able to take your investment tax credit of 30%. You're able to write it off, as I've said, and you're able to pass on that obligation to the next homeowner who comes in and buys your property, or the next commercial property owner if you've done it on a piece of commercial property. Fantastic attribute. And the price of solar has gone down dramatically. As we were talking a little bit earlier before the show, in the state of Texas, which is a completely bare-knuckle market, a couple of the utilities went out to bid for energy, and the lowest price of energy was solar electricity at $50 a megawatt hour, or 5 cents a kilowatt hour. Here in San Diego, as I was just reporting a little while ago, we're paying 23 cents a kilowatt hour for energy. So you can see that—
Five times as much.
Yeah, you can see that we're paying a lot more than the raw cost of solar electricity. So one of the things that I always try to advise my clients is go out and talk to multiple contractors, or hire a company like mine to act as your owner's representative. That's what we do. We are an owner's representative. Generally, we work in the commercial space. We tend to give away our consulting services to our friends that own a home. But in the commercial space, you really do need to hire an owner's representative, because there are lots of technicalities that go on to doing a distributed generation system on a commercial property. It's more complicated, and there are more hoops. San Diego, quite honestly, San Diego Gas and Electric makes you go through more hoops on a commercial property than they do on a residential property, which is more regulated in the state of California.
We're talking with Lane Sharman. He's the CEO of Solana Energy. His website is solanaenergy.com. That's the website, solanaenergy.com. We just talked about how you can get a loan for energy-efficient upgrades that is attached to your property tax bill, thus allowing you to pass on the capitalization cost to the next homeowner, if there is one. I see another downside here, which is a segue into our final topic. I see another downside here is that SDG&E does not, over the course of a year, write me a check if I make more energy than I use? I mean, I understand that I change my bill to net metering. I get my bill on a one-year cycle. I make a certain amount. I use a certain amount. In the end, it could be a wash. I don't actually pay them. But if I make way more than I use, currently SDG&E is not paying me for that energy. I think that plays into, well, what you want to talk about next, AB 2145.
Which is community energy. And so in the state of California, we have these energy districts that want to pay San Diegans for the power, the excess power that they produce. So let's say that you have a large warehouse, or let's say that you have a storage facility, or let's say that you have a big, beautiful house with
a parking lot,
and you want to excess produce. San Diego Gas and Electric does not make it easy. They don't come knocking on your door to you and say, you know what, we'd like to see you produce power and we'd like to buy it at a market rate. You know, and if they're selling energy at 23 cents a kilowatt hour, it seems to me that they ought to be able to come in and pay 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 cents a kilowatt hour and do so and still make money. But they're not doing that. And so that's where community energy comes in. Community energy is all about local energy. It's all about local production, local jobs, local creation of a dynamic economy in which we have a second competitor in San Diego County. Can you imagine going to a game and having one team, you know, the World Cup and one country showing up? I mean, this is crazy. We need to have some competition.
We had a Super Bowl like that.
Yeah, it feels like it sometimes.
We're talking with Lane Sharman. He's the CEO of Solana Energy. His website is solanaenergy.com. That's his website, solanaenergy.com. Now, tell me about AB 2145. I know you were kind of alluding to it with respect to one team showing up, but what is AB 2145 and why should I like or dislike it?
So what we have here is three monopolies in the state of California: Pacific Gas and Electric, Southern California Edison, and San Diego Gas and Electric. They have state-chartered monopolies, and they want to protect those monopolies. We, as citizens, need to make sure that they don't do an end around, which is what they're trying to do right now in the legislature, and kill the community energy movement. We have community energy movements in Marin and Sonoma. We have one coming up in Lancaster. We'd like to have one coming up in San Diego. This bill will effectively kill the law by changing it in such a way that a community cannot form a viable community energy district. And if you want to help community energy in the state of California, I urge you to call Senator Alex Padilla at the following number, 916-651-4020. That's 916-651-4020. He's the next gatekeeper in the California legislature that will determine whether or not AB 2145 ends up on Governor Brown's desk. Let's help embolden California to have energy choice and competition. Let's kill AB 2145, and let's come back again and talk about community energy, Ryan and Kelly.
Sounds good. So if you want more information about AB 2145, Google it.
Yeah.
It's out there. Is there a specific site they should
go
to?
No. Yes, there
Google
is. No2145.org. No2145.org is where you go to learn all about this insidious bill that's been inspired by our friendly investor-owned utilities.
Lane Sharman, CEO, Solana Energy, the website, solanaenergy.com. Kelly Klein, Regional Manager, OneTrust Home Loans. His number, 619-784-9695. 619-784-9695. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having me again, Ryan.
Until next week.
Been a pleasure.